వసుదేవసుతం దేవం కంసచానూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురు. గురు బ్రహ్మా గురు విష్ణు గురుదేవో మహేశ్వర గురు సాక్షాత్ పరబ్రహ్మ తస్మే శ్రీ గురువే నమః. In this beautiful 18 days of Gita Yajna, today is the 17th day, the eve of Gita Jayanti. And we are at chapter 17 of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, the chapter on the yoga of the threefold division of faith. This chapter begins with a question from Arjun, springing from Bhagavan Sri Krishna's concluding verses of chapter 16, where Bhagavan has emphasized that the scriptures are the authority of what we ought to do and what we ought not to do. Here, Arjun has a very important question, which is relevant to all of us as devotees of the Lord. Arjuna uvacha, ye shastra vidrim utsrijya, yajante shraddhayanvitha, tesham nishta tuka krishna, sattvam aho rajastamaha. Some people do not know the scriptures, but they worship the gods according to the customs, family traditions and their innate faith. For example, some devotees fast on certain days, not knowing the scriptural injunctions, but fast with great faith, as it is their family tradition to do so for generations. So now, due to their lack of understanding of the scriptures, what is the state of devotion? Arjuna's questions can be divided into three parts. One, what is the state of devotion if one does not follow the scriptures? Two, with Shraddha? And three, is it sattvic, rajasic or tamasic? Let us begin by examining the word Shraddha, which is core to the Bhagavad Gita, and Shraddha is emphasized in particular in chapter 7 and chapter 12 in the path of bhakti. So what is Shraddha? The word Shraddha is simply translated as faith. Faith is not just blind belief. In fact, faith is not an adequate translation of the word Shraddha. Shraddha means much more than just faith. It is dilse, from the heart. It is unwavering belief in one and one alone and not another. Believing from deep within you, from the deep recesses of your heart, that even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise. This is Shraddha. The story of Shabri from the Ramayana displays the meaning of faith. Shabri had deep faith that Lord Ram would come to her hut and she would for many, many years faithfully clean the pathway, spread it with sweet-smelling flowers and pick berries with the heartfelt faith that Lord Rama would come. Bhagavan then responds to Arjuna's question in verse 1 with verses 2 and 3. Yo yat shraddha sa eva sa. He says, he is what a man's faith is. Here we see the power of faith. Bhagavan has devoted one whole chapter with 28 verses to explain in detail the power of faith. For you are what your Shraddha is. This reflects in many ways in our lives. Look around us. If we have faith in doing well in our studies, we do well. If we have faith in ourselves, in excelling in our job, we see progress. If we have faith in our daily prayers and our communion with God, we see miracles. It is Shraddha. But where does Shraddha come from? Bhagavan says, Shraddha is in accordance with the nature of man. We are all made in the image of God. The nature of God, Brahman, is bliss. But mankind has steered away from this ideal and is instead stuck in this cycle of life and death. In chapter 15, verse 8, Bhagwan says, as we leave this body, we carry with us our mind and our senses. We have accumulated vasanas which are reflected in our nature, accumulated over our current and our previous lives, yugas after yugas. Our faith, therefore, springs from our swabhava, our nature, and from this, the threefold gunas of sattva, rajas, and tamas. In verses 4, 5, and 6, he speaks on the divisions of our faith in God in accordance with the three gunas, and on the hypocrisy of penances and senseless torture of the body, not sanctioned by any of the scriptures. For Bhagwan says here in verse 6, for I dwell in this body. Images of people walking on burning coals, piercing skewers, prolonged fasting, not in line with our scriptures, are some of the living examples of people of asuric nature, led by lust, ego, and power. An example of this would be Ravana, who undertook extreme penances to obtain boons from the gods. Having described the three categories of faith, Sri Krishna now explains, corresponding to each of these gunas, the categories of food, acts of sacrifice, charity, and austerities. Let us pause and look at the wonder of this chapter. There are spiritual aspirants who may inquire, how is the Gita applicable and how he or she can assimilate any verse of the Gita? In this chapter 17, one who has started his spiritual journey will find simple and easy to apply lessons for daily life. Every human being can relate to food. And here in verses 7 to 10, Bhagwan speaks of food, which is divided into three kinds. In verse 7, Sri Krishna starts with the benefits of eating sattvic food. But the remaining verses, he only gives a description of rajasic and tamasic food. Just like a salesman or a telemarketer, they always start with the benefits of the product they sell. They say, in this upmarket, luxurious, close to the LRT, state-of-the-art security system, they try to sell you a piece of property. Here, the divine salesman, Sri Krishna, in the above verse, starts with the words, Ayu Sattva Bala Rogya, meaning that which promotes longevity, good health, virtue, happiness, and satisfaction. Such foods are juicy, naturally tasteful, mild, etc. But the other foods are only described without mentioning benefits, but instead the results of effects of rajasic and tamasic food are mentioned, pain, grief, disease, etc. Here the master dietitian is promoting healthy food. These days we speak of plant-based food, going vegan, avoid certain foods, many food fads to lose weight, etc. The importance of a diet hits us when our health is affected, when our cholesterol is high or our sugar levels are high or we have some allergies or are obese. More than 5,000 years ago, this has been spelled out to mankind. But Sri Krishna does not say, eat this or do not eat this. He says, as is your nature, so you are indulging in these foods. In fact, chapter 6, the Yoga of Self-Discipline, in verse 17, he says, one who is regulated in diet, recreation, activities, sleeping, etc., gets rid of all sorrow. In other words, you make a choice, knowing this division spelled out on sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic foods. In this regard, I recall, and my family vividly remembers, Gurudev's words during one of his pravachans in the late 90s, downstairs in our old ashram building, where he said, eat in small amounts, steam your food. Simple pointers for all of us. So, the decision is in our hands. How do we take baby steps to moderate our diet? Verses 11 to 13 cover yajna, sacrifice, or any offering by way of worship. Three components comprise sattvic yajna, or any spiritual offering to the Lord. 1. Performed without expectation of any reward. 2. It must be done according to the injunctions of the scriptures. 3. Performed as a duty only for the sake of worship of the Lord. This is sattvic yajna, or offering to the Lord. When one says, "What will I get in return?" this is rajasic in nature. Examples are abound about how we make a display of our pujas, fire yajnas, etc., purely to seek more and more, for more business opportunities, for work promotions, to accumulate more wealth, etc., etc. Therefore, offer it with pure devotion as an offering to the Lord, for the Lord, and with love for Him alone, seeking nothing in return. Verse 13 is very important for us to understand, for our beloved Guru Ma has explained this in great detail in one of our pravachans. Any such offering, puja or sacrifice must fulfill these five conditions as stated in verse 13. Namely, we must observe requirements or the instructions of the scripture. 2, food must be distributed. Mantras must be chanted. 4, payment of sacrificial fee. 5, with faith. Now, if we do not observe these, our offerings or pujas are considered tamasic. Guru Ma has further highlighted that food distributed can be simple, just simple prasad, bananas or raisins, but it must be distributed. Sacrificial fee, it can be a ringgit. Any minimal nominal sum must be offered. After speaking on food, Bhagwan introduces tapas or austerities, which are further broken up into austerity of the body, speech and mind. Verses 17 to 19 divide this further into three gunas. Why has Bhagwan mentioned body, speech and mind? All actions a human being performs, he performs using this, his body, speech and mind. This is stated in the coming chapter 18 verse 15, but also in the Garuda Puran. Many of us hear of this beautiful Puran during the passing away of a beloved. This Puran is a conversation between the Lord and Garuda, his celestial vehicle. In the Garuda Puran in chapter 3 verse 12, it is also mentioned again that all our karmas born out of our mind, speech and body during our lifetime are recorded by the people of Yamraj, the Lord of Death. So the living being must be aware of this and live in this world righteously. Hence, when the body is dedicated to the service of the pure and saintly, done with cleanliness, simplicity and care for not hurting others, this is austerity of the body. Austerity of speech is speaking words that are truthful, unoffending, pleasing and beneficial for the listener. To quote Guruji, he says, "Speak relevant few words and do not indulge in bakwas, worthless conversations, for speech should always be sweet, truthful and for the welfare of others." And thirdly, austerity is of the mind, which is higher than the austerity of body and speech. For if we learn to master the mind, the body and speech automatically get mastered. While the reverse, it is not necessarily true. Here it is mentioned in verse 16, Maunam, silence of the mind. Many of us have heard of Maunam or silence in speech, simply said, control of the tongue. But here it is of the silence, silence of the mind. We hear of mindfulness, stillness of the mind in everyday life. But in the Gita, Bhagwan has mentioned three times. In chapter 10, silence, he says, "Of the secrets, I am silence, as one of Bhagwan's glories, his vibhutis." In chapter 12, chapter of devotion again, Tulya Ninda Situlmoni, one who practices silence, is a beloved devotee of the Lord. And in this chapter again, he has mentioned Maunam, Maunam of the mind. For the most powerful and turbulent is the mind, difficult to control. Sri Krishna has stated in verse 6.5, elevate yourself through the power of your mind and do not degrade yourself, for the mind is your friend and also your enemy. After dividing this further into sattvic, rajasic and tamasic, Bhagawan continues to speak on a very important topic applicable to all of us. Verses 20 to 22, Bhagawan speaks of gifts or charity given. Here Sri Krishna emphasizes the attitude with which gifts or charity is offered. When it is offered freely from the heart to worthy recipients at the proper time and at the proper place, it is in the mode of goodness. A gift given expecting something back in return is not sattvic. For Gurudev says, charity given anonymously is supreme. Many among us may feel, I am gifting so much to the temple and expect Bhagwan to return it back manifold. Yes, he will, a thousandfold. As long as your attitude was in giving and not in expecting it back. Spiritual aspirants give with love to the Lord, and whatever the returns received are Lord's prasad. Similarly, one must gift with due regard to time, place and person. For if we do not gift snow to a man who lives in Iceland, therefore a gift to a friend or relative, etc., is given expecting nothing in return. At the right time, right place. This is the spirit of giving in the sattvic mode. Towards the end of this chapter, Sri Krishna goes beyond the three gunas and explains the relevance and importance of the word Om Tat Sat. The syllable Om is a symbolic representation of the impersonal form of God. It is also considered as the name for the formless Brahman. It is also the cosmic sound that pervades creation. It is placed in the beginning of many mantras as a bij, seed mantra, to invoke auspiciousness. Examples of Om Bhurbhuvah Swaha, Om Ang Hrim Klim Chamundai Viche, Om Shri Hanumate Namaha. So we begin our mantras with the sound of Om. Tat is uttered for dedicating ceremonies and actions to the Supreme Lord, and the syllable Sat signifies eternal virtue and goodness. Together, these words symbolize different aspects of the Absolute Truth. Sri Krishna then concludes this chapter by emphasizing that the acts of sacrifice, austerity and charity must be performed with faith, and if performed without faith, are asat in this life and hereafter. The key ingredient, therefore, is in faith. One may mechanically conduct prayers, make a donation as a routine, or to please your family, or just copy a friend blindly, or just for the fun of it. Well, Bhagwan says it is futile, a waste, and is of no value. On this day, the eve of Gita Jayanti, let us remind ourselves of Gurudev's words, where he says that if one is devoid of Shraddha, performance of Havan, donation and austerity is useless. Therefore, we must have absolute faith in all of yagyas, acts of offering, austerities and acts of charity and gifts. For Shraddha is paramount, and without faith, all that we offer is in vain, not only in this life, but as we continue our lives hereafter. Hari Om Tat Sat.